Okay, so we'll get started here. Last week we talked about spiritual honor for God, the spiritual honor that's for God and God alone. And today I want to carry on in that same vein, but the title of my message today will be, Where is God's Honor? Where is God's honor? But let me recap just a minute there. Last week, our leading scripture came out of John 4, verses 23 and 24. And it's where Jesus was sitting down talking with the Samaritan woman at the well. And they had been talking. And Jesus said to her that the day that was coming and now is here. He was here. He was there. And he was saying that true worshipers, meaning those that have been filled with the Holy Spirit, that have received the Holy Spirit. And see, the truest form of worship is spirit to spirit, and God is spirit. And the Bible also tells us that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So it sounds logical to believe that if you're in the spirit, that pleases God. And that's how we should worship God. But it goes on to say that we will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And spirit and truth is referred by Jesus when he was referring to the Holy Spirit, that he had promised his disciples that he had to leave, but he would send them a helper forever. He would send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. And then I found this too, that it says that the Holy Spirit will glorify God. Honor. Honoring God. Now that's spiritual honor. That's why it's important that we have the Holy Spirit in us, because the Holy Spirit glorifies God. So today, I want to lead off with a scripture out of the Old Testament. This passage in Malachi. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. And we should have that on the screen coming up. But just for general knowledge, Malachi is one of the last books of the Old Testament. And you can, if you're looking in your Bible, you can find Malachi, you know, right in front of Matthew of the New Testament. Now, there are 12 minor prophets in the Old Testament. And there were nine that prophesied to the Israelites before they were exiled into Babylon. But then there were three that prophesied into Israel that was the voice of God after their exile. So do we have that on the screen? Okay, good. Now, it goes on to say that a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, this is God talking through Malachi, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts to you priests, who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? And see, I think God was relating how we have a natural tendency, a natural inclination to respect and to honor our parents, our biological parents, or our adoptive parents. But what about the spiritual inclination to respect and to honor the Father with a capital F, the Father of all people, the Father of creating heaven and earth? What about that spiritual inclination? It should supersede any other inclination, natural or whatever, that we have sometimes when we honor others. So this is God speaking through Malachi, and this is taking place about some 100 years after the exile and the Israelites had returned to Jerusalem. See, in particular, this passage here is speaking, God is speaking to the priests who were in charge of the temple services, all of the rituals and the offerings and daily sacrifices. And see, the exile is when Israel, when they were captured by the Babylonians, and they were taken into Babylonia and held there for 70 some odd years. So in particular, like I said, this passage is speaking to the priests. And all of this was, the exile was self-inflicted upon the Israelites. You know why? Somebody asked me why. Because they chose to turn away from God's love. They chose to turn away from God's love, and they ran towards evil. All kinds of evil. Their hearts had become set on unrighteousness and evil practices. You know, when I was looking at this passage, it made me think about, when I was talking about unrighteousness and evil practices, it made me think about a time, it was been some years ago now, when we were assigned in Alaska. We lived in Alaska. And we were watching the news, and there was this broadcast about this man that had been released from prison. He was set free. All of his sins, if you will, had been forgiven. Immediately, he didn't waste no time. Within 1 hour, immediately, he had robbed, sexually assaulted, and murdered an elderly couple. His heart was set on unrighteousness and evil practices. I'm sure that someone warned him, someone prophesied, if you will, and told him that do what's right when he was released from prison. Because if not, there's a price to pay. There's consequences. But as fate had it, he turned away from doing what's right. And he immediately, I don't know if he even thought about it, or hesitated, he ran towards evil. He ran towards evil and all of those practices and ended up back in prison. So the exile into Babylon for the Israelites, it was a prophetic judgment, something that they had brought on themselves because of their sinful hearts and their sinful ways. They started getting into idolatry and worshiping other gods and other things, and their refusal to obey and honor God. Now, if we fast forward, coming out of exile, being released from Babylon, it was a small remnant of people, of Israelites, that went back to Jerusalem, and they were encouraged and instructed to first rebuild the temple, and then they can rebuild their lives. But just only a small, it was others that stayed in Babylon. After all, they had been there for 70 years, and they had grown accustomed to living there. You can imagine some people had kids and whatnot. That's all they knew. They didn't know the old Jerusalem. But there was a small remnant that went back to Jerusalem to first, they were encouraged to rebuild the temple of God that had been destroyed, and they can rebuild their lives. So during this time, the last three of the minor prophets prophesied to them what God was speaking to them. And these last three was Haggai, Zechariah, and we're talking about Malachi right now. So Haggai's prophecy was for the people to get more concerned with the interest and with pleasing God instead of themselves. See, people had gotten so self-centered and whatnot, and they were building their own nice houses and their plush lives instead of working like they were instructed to, like they were encouraged to build God's temple first. They had their priorities all backwards, all out of whack, all messed up, much like some of us today. Everything comes before God. See, we put, what God gave me is that we put PMT before God on a daily basis. And what is PMT? Here's a quiz. Anybody know? People, money, and time. Did I say something funny? People, money, and time. See, PMT are things that we value most. We value people, we value money, and we value time. And truthfully, we need all three to live a productive life here on earth. They, whether we like it or not, they are part of our daily lives. Irrespective of who we are, of what sex, what religion, what race, height, weight, whatever. And get this here. They all three, PMT, demand a lot of our attention, whether we like to or not, unless we go live the life of a monk. But they demand our attention. See, we put people before God all the time. You know, this could be one reason why the scripture starts off saying a son honors his father and a servant, a master. And God is left out. God is left out. He's asking, and you can imagine God says, where's my honor? You know, he's looking and saying, the last time I checked, I'm God. I created all of this. I created your fathers, our fathers. See, I've seen people that collapse, fall out, get all indignant even, worshiping other people. I'm sure everyone else has seen it too. We've seen people that put all of their heart and soul into worshiping other people, pop stars, famous people. And check this out, famous people that's even dead or alive, going to the gravesite of Michael Jackson and Elvis Presley, laying over the casket, laying over the gravesite, worshiping them like they can hear. They don't hear nothing. They can't do anything for you. We even have people that worship their children and grandchildren and spouses and girlfriends and boyfriends. People will do some unspeakable things just to please other humans, to worship other humans. They will do some unspeakable things, and I won't even get into that. So they will do all those things for people. But if you ask them, if you ask someone that's like that, to give God some glory, they get too dignified to say hallelujah. Dignified. Before they were all indignant, falling out, didn't care who was looking. At the football games. Oh, yeah, somebody scored a goal. Hey, praising and worshiping. But come in church, they too dignified to say hallelujah. That's the truth. They will tell everyone how much they love whoever it is in that list of people I just ran off. And there's nothing wrong with telling people that you love them and talking about people that's dear and near to you and how great they are. But when given the opportunity to say how good God has been in our lives, you get this. You get this. People get muted. You can't hear a peep out of no one. To give God the glory. See, God doesn't mind us honoring others. He doesn't. He calls for us to do that. In the right perspective. In the right priority. For instance, in Romans 12, verse 10. Bible tells us, say, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. That's you, 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 and every one of us in here, saved or unsaved. Why? Why do this? And the only thing I could come up with, yeah, they've done something that may be great and whatever. That's all good. But because we are a creation that's made in the image and the likeness of God. And that is good. That's something to say. That ain't nothing lightly. And see, I'm not doing this for show right now, what I'm going to do. I'm doing this because, you know, that's the type of person I am. And when I want to honor someone and bless someone, you know, I normally do it. I tell them in person. But normally if I got something on me, you know, that they can use in the terms of some money or whatever, just to show my appreciation for what you're doing. But I say, like, in Jesus' name, I honor God first because he created you in his image and his likeness. And I'm thankful for that because without him, you could do nothing. And so I'm going to take this opportunity. And I know we can do it in private, but hey, right now I'm preaching. This is my show, okay? I want to honor someone because I found out this morning. And I take my hat off and I salute someone because I know what the struggle is to go through college and to come out on the other side with a degree. And I don't like to put nobody on the spot. But Vaughn here, he graduated in the top of his class. Amen. I appreciate you. And I say, God bless you. God bless you. That's my love gift to you. And I honor that. We honor God when we are kind and loving to one another in the Lord. How about these type of people here? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. What about these type of people? The Bible says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. That's through leadership. We can honor God through honoring our leaders in the church. There's nothing wrong with greasing the pocket of my pastor every once in a while or treating them to dinner or encouraging them and respecting them or giving them a pat on the back and say, God bless you. I thank you for working, for doing the work of the Lord. See, I would rather bless a servant of God who pours God's word into my head and demonstrates God's love for me than to bless a hairdresser who cuts my hair and knows everybody's business. Gossip and fill my head with all that rubbish that I don't need to hear about somebody else's business. See, we honor God when we show appreciation for church leaders who govern, not anybody that's a church leader, but who governs God's word well. Here's another instruction from the Bible that applies to all of us. At one point in our lives, we were all children and we have had a mother and a father at one time. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. And the word of God says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Children, honor your parents. See, I remember that I was a grown adult. I was married. We had a one child. Living in my own home. But if my parents came to visit me, I'm grown. I'm in the military. When they came to visit me, and I was a smoker and a drinker. In fact, I was an alcoholic. I would put away my cigarettes and put up my alcohol out of respect. And I wasn't even saved then, but just out of respect for my parents. See, there used to be a time someone told me that back in the day, 100 years, whatever, the priests, they used to go to visit the parishioners, go to the house and knock on the door or hit the doorbell, ding dong. When they see it's the priest, they put up the liquor, put up the wine, turn off the TV, respect the priest. But see, nowadays, it's the priests that are coming to the house with a six pack to knock down a few. After sitting with someone, praying with them, going having Bible study. I'm talking about my parents, right? See, even profanity. I dare not use the slightest profanity in the presence of my parents. When I wasn't saved. But I see some people, they do that. They don't care. I'm an adult now. I can do this. No, I respected my parents. See, but by honoring and respecting our parents, we honor God. That was people. What about money? Where's God's money? See, we put money before God all the time. If not money, some kind of item that holds in value, that we esteem as precious above all else. You know, there's people that say, and when I die, I'm going to take it with me. They mean it. All of their possessions, all of their money, all of their gold and jewelry and valuable items, anything that's worth anything, I'm going to take it with me. Some of them do. There are people that are 6 feet under in the ground or in a vault with their possessions. I guess they took it with them to the ground. But it's not going no further. It's going to rot and decay. There was a man even that I think it was that he loved Cadillacs. There's some people that love motorcycles, Harley Davidsons. They take it to the grave with them. Okay, let's move on from that. Proverbs 3, verse 9. The Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance, whatever we have in our hands, whatever that we have that's of value, and with our first fruits of all thine increase, through our resources, honor the Lord. See, we honor God when we are good stewards over our resources. What about our time? Where is God's time? Time is like what I said, one of those early on, that it's one of those unique kinds of resources that we can't save it up like money and store it in the bank, pull it out when we want to. We have to be good stewards. Good stewards of our time right now, in the immediate, in the presence, right now. Every second counts. We have to be good stewards of our time. Unlike people and unlike money, there's no do-overs with time. And I'll make a point here in Ephesians, if you will, turn to Ephesians 5, verse 15 and 20. I think we'll go through the whole thing there. The word says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Now, the New King James Version says, redeeming the time. In other words, we're talking about making the most of our time for good. And it goes on to say, because the days are evil, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. It says, do not get drunk on wine. That's one of them touchy subjects there. Do not get inebriated, intoxicated. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with drinking wine, because no, it's not. But we have to know our limits and the responsibilities of drinking wine. Now, I was a law enforcement officer, and we used to, you know, get DUI cases all the time and stop someone, because it only takes two glasses of alcohol will get you under the limit. But if we can go out and drive a vehicle after having three glasses of alcohol, I can tell you from a law enforcement perspective, you will be cited for DUI, driving under the influence. That's drunk. That's inebriated. So if we can manage it, doctors may tell us it's good for the heart, good for the digestive after we eat. That's fine. But don't get drunk, which leads to debauchery, excessive indulgence in sensual pleasures. The Bible goes on and says, instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, make no mistake, that's the Spirit, not spirits. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from your heart for the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. Oh God, I thank you for waking me this morning. Oh God, I thank you for us. The sun is out today. It's a new day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh God, I thank you for my spouse. Oh God, I thank you for my parents. I thank you, God, that I'm well. There shouldn't be one quiet moment in the church when somebody say, hey, give God some praise. Tell God what you're thankful for. We should be saying, that's enough. We have to cut it off now. We got to go on with the service. But we do it all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you get the point. PMT, people, money, and time. Remember that. PMT, people, money, and time. And I'm going to say this, and then I'll move on to Zechariah. See, And that was all under Haggai. See, God wants his honor and glory first. And we can have all of these other things that are contained in PMT. But I would encourage everyone to learn this verse. Learn it. Live it. Believe in it. Matthew 6:33. And we all, it's a common verse. Say, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And says all these things, all of PMT, will be added to you. We don't even have to waste time to think about our own interests. Because when we put God first, this thing is designed to happen this way. Automatically, our interest follows God's interest when we put God first. Okay, on to Zechariah. See, Zechariah, he was one of the prophets that made many visions from God about restoring the Holy Temple and the children of Israel. He had visions about the coming of the Messiah and the coming judgment on the enemies of God in Israel. So the Israelites, they were encouraged. They were encouraged by this. And so where they were hesitant and reluctant at first about building the temple, they built the temple quick and in a hurry. See, when we see a benefit for us, we don't mind doing things in the house of God. But that should not be the reason that we serve in the house of God. See, because when the benefit runs dry, we run too. We don't run dry. We just run away from God. When we see there's no more value for us and we get tired of waiting on the promises and the blessings of God, and we know that all the promises of God are yes and amen. See, we start doing things half-heartedly. But we know that the Bible says, whatever you do, do your work heartily unto the Lord and not to man. But see, our attendance even starts to slip. Where we were going once a week to service, and typically churches have at least two services a week, one on the weekend and one during the midweek. But it gets so bad that we can't even make the one service a week. We're down to maybe twice a month. All right, I'm gonna move on to Malachi. During Malachi's prophecy, the temple had already been rebuilt. And they had gotten back to the sacrificial offerings, the daily rituals and ceremonies. But Israel had become discouraged. They were discouraged only because the promises that they thought they had received from Haggai and Zechariah hadn't come to fruition. See, but that hadn't come to pass, and they began to be slothful and lazy and started doing things half-heartedly. And the esteem and honor they once had for God starts to diminish, fade away. See, the priests back in Malachi's, they were in charge of making these offerings, these sacrificial offerings. And what happened is that they would not give their best offerings. See, they had gotten to a point where they just did whatever. Just good enough. Ever heard this? Just good enough for government work. If anyone would ever worked in the government. Not giving it their very best or their A game. We have to give it our A game. We have to give it our very best when we come into the house of the Lord. Even the worship of the people. They begin to dishonor God. They would sing their hymns and go through all the motions like church folks. Some of us here today. Not you, I'm just saying, you know, in general. In other words, they were giving praise But it was a bunch of lip service. It wasn't from their heart. God knows our hearts. See, the priests, they fooled the people, but they could not fool God with the sacrificial offerings and the and animal sacrifices and giving the worst of all the animals, those that were lame and blind, as a sacrificial offering. That wasn't their best. Even they knew that it wasn't true, that they were untrue. They were deceptive. And we see, we are forgetting that God knows our hearts. But we, like the priest, we have the audacity to ask God, how have I despised your name? Are we good on time? We're getting to a close. How have I despised your name? If you will, I'm going to go to Malachi 1:14. See, this was God told them. He says, but cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. See, we have to get back to fearing the Lord. That's what's wrong, what we see in the world today. There's no fear of the Lord anymore. People do as they please. We dishonor people. We misuse our money. And we waste our time on foolishness. Nothing productive. See, Christians, we come to church out of tradition and honor and respect for the Lord. It just slides to the side. It diminishes. We've learned how to talk the talk and walk the walk. And sometimes we just give God that lip service. But here's what Jesus said in Matthew 15, verses 7 through 9. And this is when he was rebuking the religious leaders of his day for their hypocrisy. And he was referring to what the prophet Isaiah had prophesied in Isaiah 29:13. But here we go, Matthew 15, 7 and 9. And I read this with you because, you know, I'm not talking to anyone out here. This is what's talking to us, me included. Hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you saying, these people draw near to me with their lips, with their mouth, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teachings as doctrines, the commandments of men. See, God does not move away from people. He says, I would never leave you nor forsake you. But what happens is that our hearts move away from him. What are we giving the Lord? What offering do we have before God? Is it our very best? Where is God's reverence? Where is God's honor? That's what God was saying then, and that's what God is saying now to us. And I conclude. I'd like to leave just for a minute there. Malachi 4 and 2. If you put that on the screen, take 1 minute and read Malachi 4 and 2. And let Jesus reveal himself and his glory and how he wants us to always flourish. Amen.